At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this going to be?
Moneyline. With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win seven games a year for 4 years. Eventually, you'll find somebody, and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
All righty, welcome to the show on a Tuesday afternoon, mid-February, to be exact, February the 13th. We're almost halfway through this month, people, and then away we go into March Madness, and you know what March also brings as well, spring training games and also the start of the regular season in Major League Baseball. I'm Donnie Wrightside. This is Moneyline, the best hour of your day. Kevin will be out until Thursday, recuperating from that long Super Bowl run here, a little bit under the weather. We'll let him catch up, but we got a lot of hot topics to hit. If you do want to call in, the phone lines are open, 844-843-6879. A lot of good topics to talk about today, which we'll get into a little bit later in the show. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, where they stand on the Mount Rushmore of coaches and quarterbacks, players alike in the NFL over its history after yet another Super Bowl win, their third together. And could the sky be the limit? We'll certainly check that out. But there are some other hot topics here in the NFL we'll get to, as well as a pretty good college basketball card tonight that we'll take a look at, which includes some games that pique my interest. Marquette and Butler in the Big East, UCF and BYU, the Kentucky Wildcats, what happened to them? Can they step up to the plate tonight and beat Ole Miss? You got New Mexico and Nevada, Oklahoma and Baylor in the Big 12. Some good stuff to talk about, which includes we're probably going to get some pretty good tempo there with North Carolina and Syracuse tonight as well. Now, just watching some of these highlights, the Super Bowl now being over. You know, I have two TVs in my office where I do the shows from. And usually one is on ESPN, one is probably on whatever the hot topic is that day, or should I say that season. Usually it's like an NFL network on one side, might be during baseball season, the MLB network. You get the drift there. But you know what I do miss most of all? Like, football is so incredible. And we are a few days out from the Super Bowl. It was great to watch. Again, even though I didn't win any money on the Super Bowl, you still love the pomp and stance and pageantry. And quite frankly, the Super Bowl in our business that we're in is very tough to deal with. Like, I was away for a full 7 days, wall-to-wall work out there in Las Vegas at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center there on Media Row. It was a lot of fun, did a lot of big things with the boys, but it's exhausting. And much like everybody who gets to party, eat, and relax during the Super Bowl, most of us in this business have to work during the Super Bowl. So I didn't get a chance to really partake in the commercials and watch everything, you know, hand in hand, because we're on the air most of the time doing some things and trying to make sure we're on our P's and Q's so we can do halftime shows and post-game shows and in-game shows and all that good stuff. So it is nice when you get to decompress and watch it at home. I was finally able to catch up yesterday and watch the Super Bowl in its entirety, particularly in the fourth quarter, because I wanted to hear what Tony Romo had to say. I wanted to hear what Jim Nance fans had to say. I wanted to take a look at some of the commercials I missed, and even going back and watching the halftime show, as I said yesterday with Usher, which was very good outside of him skipping one song I really wanted to hear him sing. But the one thing that we do know, guys, the NFL is an absolute juggernaut. The ratings came out earlier today. The most watched television program in history. Do you know the only thing that actually overtook that? Or should I say overtook it? They actually came close to meeting. There was 123.4 million viewers for the Super Bowl. So the joke always is, now hold on. If there was, let's just say, let's round it up, 125 million viewers. There's over 300 million people living in the United States. What were the other, let's just say, 100 and, I don't know, so what would that be, 270 at that point, 170 something? Just to say 175 million viewers. What were they doing? Were they watching Vanderpump Rules? Housewives? Reruns of Jeopardy? Out walking their dogs? What were they doing there watching the Super Bowl? And it was a great Super Bowl, and one of those where sometimes if you're not a football fan or at a party, it's like, eh, this game's kind of boring. But as soon as you see on social media, you get the text or you get the call from a family member, hey, you checking out this football game right now going to overtime? This is wild in the Super Bowl. A lot of people are going to tune in and certainly check that game out. But this is why you take a look and you say to yourself, if there's a chance that you can own one of the 32 football teams in the NFL, you just print money. That's all you do. You print money. You could run your football team into the ground like Daniel Snyder did with his Washington football team and still print money and sell for $6 billion. Why? Because we always watch the NFL. We always pay for more NFL. It's why the NFL now is like, hey, you know what? We're going to play multiple games in the UK. We're going to play games in Germany. We're going to play games in Spain. We're going to play games in Sao Paulo, Brazil next year with my Philadelphia Eagles on a Friday. Think of opening weekend next year, people. Thursday night football game, which would be the Kansas City Chiefs. Friday game will be the Eagles versus somebody down in Brazil. Saturday, you get a breather, but there'll be college football on. And then Sunday, a full blast schedule. Probably doubleheader again on Monday night football as well, which is incredible. But do they need the doubleheader on Monday night opening week? I guess probably not if you're going to have a Thursday, Friday, and also Sunday, and then Monday, as we know. One to keep an eye on that point. But 123.4 million viewers watched this game. A 7% increase over Kansas City last year playing the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, there were a lot of different markets where you could have watched this on. Paramount Plus, I believe the NFL Network's digital platforms, that NFL Plus, whatever it's called. Nickelodeon bringing the kids into it. CBS. But I think we can agree on this. The Swifties had a major impact and probably boosted it up that extra 7% which beat last year's game between the Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. You can't deny that. The NFL absolutely, absolutely loves that. And do you know, by the way, as I was leading into, what the most watched, I guess, program or thing on TV was? It's when we landed on the moon. Hear me out on this. We are approaching, and granted, there are hundreds of different cable networks or different, you know, channels on cable networks that you can watch. Back when, was it Apollo landed on the moon? What was there, like three stations to watch? And of course, where were you when we landed on the moon? Who wasn't watching that? So for the NFL to approach the territory of there was Super Bowl 58, and then there's when we landed on the moon 50-some-odd years ago at this point. It's incredible the reach that the NFL has. It's wild. It's amazing. But I got to tell you right now, Patrick Mahomes is also wild and amazing. Let's have that conversation next to go over where he sits on the Mount Rushmore of great quarterbacks. Coming up next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Super Bowl fun had by all. I know a lot of people cash tickets out there. Public nailed it with the Kansas City Chiefs. I did not nail it with the Kansas City Chiefs. Thought San Francisco was the better side in that game. Wasn't meant to be. Kyle Shanahan stinks, but that's neither here nor there. Live on the radio now. Having fun. If you want to call in, you have any still hot takes from Super Bowl 58, what you thought was happening. It wasn't a big deal with Kyle Shanahan. 844-843-6879. If you got any hot picks, hot plays tonight, NBA action, NCAA, that's where we're at here, rocking and rolling and having some fun. By the way, the Kansas City Chiefs will have their parade tomorrow in Kansas City, a daily occurrence, as it feels there at this point, or yearly occurrence, I should say. Getting rid of Tyreek Hill, no big deal. You go from a ultra-explosive offense to a very good offense, and you still win two Super Bowls because you have one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL, and Andy Reid, who's also the head coach, obviously, and also Steve Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator, who's been tremendous and probably will now be a Hall of Famer just as an assistant and as a defensive coordinator because of how good he's been and winning multiple championships with multiple organizations. Spagnuolo has been absolutely tremendous. So away we go. We talked about how big the Super Bowl ratings were and what that means to the future of the NFL, particularly the money that they're going to make on their next TV contract. As we talk about the NBA, that's worried about people aren't watching anymore and players are sitting out, so they're trying to force those players to play in the biggest games and watch. They're worried about maybe a little bit less money on the next end. The NFL just continues to be an absolute juggernaut. Politics don't matter. Feelings don't matter. Everybody watches the NFL, and rightfully so, because of guys like Patrick Mahomes. They don't come around often, and sometimes the baton being handed off is very hard to find that next guy that's going to carry your anchor leg. For a guy as dominant and as popular as Tom Brady was, for Tom Brady to disappear from the NFL and have Patrick Mahomes take that baton and run wild with it is pretty impressive to watch that play out. It really is. It really is impressive. He's such a good quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. And we're going to go over in just a few moments here if we can consider him the greatest of all time. Now, I have hot takes, and so do many other people in this industry. So we'll get some looks here from the people as well if you want to call in and have some fun with who you think is the greatest of all time, coach and also quarterback. I still think it's cut and dry at this point. But let's get the phone lines here, have some fun. Jordan from Phoenix calling in after a tough Super Bowl Sunday where his Niners came up just a little bit short, but is here on the line now. Jordan, what's good out there, man?
What's going on, Donnie? How you doing, man?
Good, man, good.
Yeah, it's a little tough, heartbreak for sure. That's just how it is. You know, life, sometimes you win and you lose. Niners, though, the last three Super Bowls for me have lost, so hopefully they can get that done the next time we get there, man. But already can't wait for football season. I'm looking forward to that. March Madness coming up. I played Providence tonight, so I'm on Providence big time. So let's
there you go.
Let's go. You know the drill. Best show on the grid, and I'll talk to you soon, my man.
There you go. Jordan checking in there. His 49ers came up a little bit short. And by the way, like most of us watch, and I said it yesterday from like my childhood, the Eagles were never in the Super Bowl. Like the first Super Bowl I remember, like being a fan of per se, I loved Dan Marino growing up, and I played Pee Wee football. And the reason why I wore number 13 throughout my career really was Dan Marino. Wore it at a young age because I really, the jersey was cool, Marino was cool, the Dolphins were cool, the city of Miami was cool. Had some family from that area that would send me up, you know, some Miami Dolphins, Miami Hurricanes stuff. That's how it gets in there. It certainly didn't hurt that Dan Marino and the Dolphins were very good, and so were the Miami Hurricanes. But again, like the first Super Bowl, because I think 1984 was the Dan Marino-led Miami Dolphins losing to Joe Montana and the 49ers. That game was out, I believe, in Palo Alto, Stanford Stadium back in the day. The very next year was the Chicago Bears. That's like the first one where I remember being at my father's house, because it always, my father has a birthday around the Super Bowl, so it was always his birthday party and the Super Bowl. But I just remember that as the first year that I was able to stay up and watch, and you know, the Bears and you know, Refrigerator Perry and Walter Payton and Jim McMahon. It was a fun team, and they smashed the New England Patriots. And for most of like the next decade plus, it felt like the Super Bowl was always an absolute blowout and typically in the favor of the NFC. But the reason I bring this up is usually for me, it was just a party because the Eagles were never in there. So let's just go from like 1985. The Eagles didn't appear in a Super Bowl till well into my adulthood in 2004. So that's roughly, what, 20 years of just going to parties where the Eagles really weren't even on the Richter scale at that point. Now, granted, by the early 2000s, the Eagles started making NFC Championship games and pressing the needle down. But all those years, it was just like, ah, you know, Super Bowl crowned, and it would be so cool if the Eagles even just played in one, and the Cowboys would win every year, and the Washington Redskins would win every year, and the New York Giants would win every year. And I'm sitting like, man, I'm a fan of an NFC East team here. I get no love here because my Eagles can't make it in, but everybody's winning multiple Super Bowls around me. But the feeling there, I remember in 2004 when the Eagles lost the Super Bowl and how devastating it was to me and the buildup to it and all that stuff. I remember that like it was yesterday. But then also the feeling of the Eagles winning in 2017, in February of 2018, is actually when the Super Bowl takes place. One of the greatest days of my life. I felt like my sports life was fulfilled. I didn't need anything else. Like, I had watched the Philadelphia Phillies World Series championship in 08, and it was really cool and fun, and I loved it. But my heart belongs to the Philadelphia Eagles, and all I ever wanted to see was a Super Bowl champion for the Eagles, and I finally got that. But I got to tell you, last year in the Super Bowl when the Eagles played the Kansas City Chiefs and lost so abruptly at the end on that penalty, it was such a letdown. I remember going to sleep that night. I was like, man, it's been a long time since I had this feeling, and waking up in the morning. And back then, Kevin and I, Kevin and I were still doing the early line, and it was hard to go through that show and talk about it, and how the Eagles blew a double-digit lead. So I can only imagine, like, guys that Jordan called in who are 49ers fans, it's probably the same thing, because I remember watching last year Rihanna at the half with Mahomes, went in with an injury at halftime with that ankle, high ankle sprain. Looks like he re-injured it. That was the greatest halftime show I ever watched, even though it really wasn't a great halftime show with Rihanna. It's like, man, the Eagles are up 10. They're going to win a Super Bowl tonight. This is going to be absolutely fantastic. And it all crumbled in the second half and then was taken away at the end of the football game by a late penalty and a late field goal, which decided that one. So I can only look at 49ers fans who are so excited. And by the way, being out in Las Vegas for that entire week, there was a ton people of 49ers support out there. The jerseys were all over the place. That place was cranked up. Even going to Media Row in the Mandalay Bay, which also was the same site of the NFL fan experience, it felt like it was all 49er fans. And the 49er fans were more vocal than the Kansas City Chiefs fans. You know, sometimes you get like, the Eagle fans are wild. They'll just go anywhere and be like, hey, we're going to try to take over a stadium and just do Eagles chants the entire way. You can hear them all around the block, right? The 49ers fans were passionate. Jerseys all over the place. Different walks of life. Up and down the strip, they were there. They came out in full. And even as we were getting ready for the pregame show on Sunday, we were getting the looks at the stadium. And social media certainly was ablaze with, wow, every time, like in warmups, the Chiefs players would run on, let's just say Patrick Mahomes, it was a chorus of boos, not loud cheers. And then when the 49ers ran onto the field, let's just say Christian McCaffrey or Deebo Samuel, it was loud cheers, not loud boos. So it was a pro 49er crowd, and rightfully so, on that short flight from California down to Las Vegas. But I just can't get over the feeling it is when you really like your team. And guys, you're listening on the radio right now. You know it. It might have been an NBA loss you might have had for your favorite team. An NHL loss for your favorite team. I remember going back to 2010 and the Philadelphia Flyers. Once upon a time, they were actually pretty good. That puck that went into the back of the net in overtime to beat the Philadelphia Flyers, that Patrick Kane goal, my heart fell out of my chest as I sat on my bed watching that. It's devastating, man. It really is. So I know your pain out there, 49er fans. But by the way, I do love that 49er pain. talked a lot of smack against my Philadelphia Eagles this year, only to wind up with an L in the biggest game of the season. You want to call in? You got it. Lines are open. You can certainly do that, 844-843-6879. But I promise you, I'm talking Patrick Mahomes next. Is he the greatest of all time? Let's talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here, talking about the NFL here on a Tuesday post-Super Bowl Sunday 58, which saw the Kansas City Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers. Fun game overall, overtime. A lot of panic in the spread, a lot of panic in the total. If you were an under-better in that game, you nailed that game. Even if you got the 46.5 on Sunday and lost, it goes to overtime, they scored 9 points. You can't really account for that. You can't do that. 0-0 at the end of the first quarter. Game hit a little bit of the gas pedal in the fourth quarter, then into overtime. But it was an underpaced game. Why? Because San Francisco fumbled on the opening series of the game, which let you know that you can't do that. I loved over 23.5 in the first half. Two teams fumble in the red zone and lose both of those fumbles. Yeah, that's going to set the stage for an L at that point. Thought the game could possibly go over, but didn't really like the full game over that much. I did like the San Francisco 49ers as the better team, and had a double-digit lead. Ended up blowing it, and because Kyle Shanahan is a rockhead, just like Dan Campbell, sometimes you got to factor in that more than the less, but I didn't think that a coach, or should I say a coaching decision, would factor into that big of the playoffs as Dan Campbell melted. Well, actually, Dan Campbell started his meltdown late in the season against the Dallas Cowboys, and that rumbled right over into the playoffs, which he had a horrendous NFC Championship game. And by the way, if Dan Campbell wasn't the coach of the Detroit Lions in the playoffs, they probably would be in the Super Bowl, maybe even win at that point. But that's how bad Dan Campbell was as a coach in the playoffs. And the same thing with Kyle Shanahan. An absolutely abysmal decision to take the football in overtime that he can't say it cost them the game. But quite frankly, if they kicked off, there's probably a good chance they win that football game, right? In overtime. Didn't give his team the best chance. But having said that, we move forward and digress into who's the best quarterback of all time. Now, I watch a lot of stuff on TV, Sports Grid Network, obviously ESPN, NFL Network. There's a lot of really bad takes out there. There is. No question about it. But the one thing is, we don't want to be, and I see the terminology out there is correct, you don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, right? Because we all know what we see sometimes in real time. We overreact to. But that's the fun of being a fan and being in the moment. Wow, never going to see another performance like that. This is the greatest performance I've ever seen all time. I understand that. But going around to be the greatest of all time, look, the story hasn't been written yet on Patrick Mahomes. He is unbelievable. Maybe the most talented football player, the quarterback of all time. If we're looking like talent-wise, right, the total package. Now, Dan Marino was absolutely outrageously talented and great, but he couldn't move, right? He couldn't manipulate the pocket all that great. He had an unbelievable release and threw for a ton of yards in a time when the NFL was like, hey, you could do whatever you want on defense. Hold, chip, pass interferences. Marino was tremendous back in the day. There was also Joe Montana. Silky smooth, but played on an unbelievable franchise with maybe the best offensive mind in the history of football in Bill Walsh. But let's move it forward to modern day here, right? Because the questions come up, and this is a fun conversation that you can go over. It's LeBron James. It's Michael Jordan in the NBA. You go back and forth on this, right? It's like, all right, who's the best? And people are really dug in on each side, and rightfully so. Michael Jordan has 6 rings here. I get it. But LeBron James played in way more finals than Michael Jordan has, right? Hasn't won the deal that Michael, as many championships as Michael Jordan won. But if you look at every other statistical category, it's a landslide. It's LeBron James by a landslide. Every statistical category, he dominates Michael Jordan, right? But then we flip it over to the NFL, and I've seen some hot takes out here. Patrick Mahomes is in his late 20s. It's been the 4 Super Bowls. He's won 3 already. But he's not the greatest of all time. He's not. And I saw some people already anointing him as so. Like, how come in the NBA, you know, we want to count rings on LeBron James and Michael Jordan, but some people aren't going to count rings for Tom Brady in the NFL, right? If you look at the Super Bowls, and it is astounding, astounding what Tom Brady has done. Tom Brady played in 10 Super Bowls and won 7 of them. Think about that. Tom Brady played in 10 Super Bowls. If we take a look at, you know, what the statistical advantages he has right now, just in Super Bowls, right? He's got 7 rings on his finger. He's thrown for 3,039 yards in the Super Bowl. That's like a regular season NFL for like Cam Newton back in the day. And that's Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Do you know Tom Brady averaged 303.9 yards per game passing in the Super Bowl? That is outrageous. So when you put him on the pantheon of playing at least one Super Bowl, because Aaron Rodgers made a Super Bowl and threw for 304 yards. By the way, Nick Foles played in the Super Bowl and threw for 373, which is absolutely wild to even think about, right? But Tom Brady, if you were in there for more than, what, 2 starts, has the all-time record at averaging over 300 yards passing in a Super Bowl. Crazy. Yardage-wise, Tom Brady has thrown for 3,039 yards in the Super Bowl. The next closest, Joe Montana, 1,142 yards. Like, he's triple the amount of the next guy in his place. Outrageous. Let's go to touchdown passes. Number one, obviously, is Tom Brady with 21 touchdown passes in the Super Bowl. Next closest, Joe Montana, 11. So he's basically double touchdown passes of Joe Montana, who went a perfect 4-for-4 in the big game. Incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And by the way, you take it, there's been a lot of great quarterbacks that played in the NFL. Do you remember John Elway getting his head broken half the time in the Super Bowl, felt like, before getting those back-to-back wins? He's 2-3 in the Super Bowl. Do you know he's played 5 games? John Elway has played 5 games, 5 Super Bowls, and only thrown 3 touchdown passes? It just gives you a look at how good Tom Brady has been. Now let's get to Patrick Mahomes. Just over 1,000 yards now passing in the Super Bowl through his 4 games. 7 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions. And look, we're not taking anything away from the greatness, right, of Patrick Mahomes. But how great has he been in the Super Bowl? By the way, passer rate, 85. Tom Brady, 97.7. Every metric and statistic here still goes to Tom Brady. 7 rings to 3. Is there a chance that Patrick Mahomes can actually get to 7? And oh, by the way, when you're looking in the history books, we never saw Michael Jordan versus LeBron James in an NBA final situation. But we did see Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes in a one-on-one Super Bowl together. Now, granted, I understand Patrick Mahomes doesn't play defense. Yeah, we understand all that fun stuff, right? But the fact of the matter is Brady's got a head-to-head victory over Patrick Mahomes. So when we're looking right now, there's no way, absolutely no way, that you can put Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback of all time. Because again, we have a sense to be prisoners of the moment. What have we seen lately? What have you done? And maybe some of the listeners out there are too young to remember all the greatness that Tom Brady had, where you couldn't stop the New England Patriots because Tom Brady knew every defense and could make every single throw, and there was not a single player in the history of football more clutch than Tom Brady was. So here's what I need to see from Patrick Mahomes to get into this conversation. Because right now, he's pulling up to the valet before he even gets out of his car. But Tom Brady is already sitting at the best seat in the restaurant as by far the best quarterback we've ever seen. Once again, Tom played in 10 Super Bowls and won 7 of those and averaged 300 yards per game in those Super Bowls. 21 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. Patrick Mahomes on the biggest stage, 7 touchdown passes, 5 interceptions. Now, Patrick Mahomes is only 28 years old. Let's just say we get elite, and I'm going to say, let's hope that Patrick Mahomes doesn't get injured, right? But we know that's a part of the game. It's a part of the NFL. We understand that. It could happen. Let's just say he's healthy over the next 5 years. It's so hard to win in the NFL. And also, you know where Tom Brady got the benefit of the doubt as well? The AFC East, for whatever 20-some-odd years it felt like he was in New England, was abysmal. The Buffalo Bills stunk out loud. Outside of like 1 year, the Jets stunk out loud. The Miami Dolphins, outside of like a year or two, felt like they stunk out loud. So Tom Brady would say, all right, season starts, we're 5-1 in the division at a minimum, maybe going 6-0. And away you went into the playoffs with home field advantage. The reason I bring this up is Kansas City is tremendous. Kansas City's going to add a wide receiver to that offense next year and be phenomenal. I do expect it. This was the year to knock off the Kansas City Chiefs. But at the same time, I got some pretty good high hopes there, to be honest, for the Denver Broncos, with Sean Payton being a competent football team. Jim Harbaugh going out to the West Coast now, leaving Michigan. Maybe those Chargers are a competent team. It's so hard to win in the NFL and do it year after year. And Patrick Mahomes is trying to set himself up for 3 straight Super Bowl championships. He's up there on that pantheon, but let's be serious. He's not Tom Brady, just not yet. Donnie Wright's out here. It's Moneyline on a Tuesday. Be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And now, back to Moneyline with Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside.
Donnie Wrightside, your host here on Moneyline, solo mission, having some fun, talking some, you know, outside looks here at Super Bowl 58, which includes, is Patrick Mahomes the greatest quarterback of all time? He is not, just not right now. In 5 years, he might be the greatest quarterback of all time. In 10 years, he might be the greatest football player that we've ever seen of all time. A fantastic, fantastic quarterback. But certainly, those debates are going to spark up, and there's no real correlation just yet other than what we see is fantastic. But you got to be fantastic for, I don't know, another 4 Super Bowl wins? Hang out and break every single record you can possibly break? Could he do it? Sure. Could he rack up the MVPs? Yep. Could he rack up the Super Bowls? Absolutely. But we got to see it to believe it here. He's got 3. He's got to get to 7. He at least has to get to what to be in that conversation? 5 as the greatest quarterback of all time? For me, probably feels about right. And the next conversation, which actually really is a little bit tougher, I guess, because it's Andy Reid versus Bill Belichick as the greatest NFL coach in the history of the sport. Now, we know other Super Bowl champions who won multiple, like the Tom Landry's out there. Fantastic coaches overall. Vince Lombardi back with the Green Bay Packers, all the NFL championships and the Super Bowl championships here early on in the Super Bowl process. You know, you take a look at Chuck Knoll for the Pittsburgh Steelers winning multiple Super Bowls. There's been a lot of great head football coaches, which includes Bill Walsh as well, who didn't hang on as long as he needed to probably be in that overall conversation. But nonetheless, the inventor of the West Coast offense, who had all those tentacles, which includes go right down to Andy Reid, who is from that pipeline of coaches that believed in the West Coast offense. But when you take a look at Andy Reid, he had unbelievable success in Philadelphia. But here was the problem. Andy Reid back then was one of the biggest choke artists in the NFL. Not saying he wasn't a great coach, but in the biggest moments, his teams couldn't get over the hill. Whether it would be timeouts that were burned, whether it would be not running a 2-minute drill in the Super Bowl because Donovan McNabb was out of shape and or couldn't remember the plays. You get the point here. Andy Reid had a lot of shortcomings in Philadelphia. Being a great head coach really wasn't one of those. He won a ton of football games. But as an avid NFL Philadelphia Eagles fan, I would be the first one to say, I loved when he left Philadelphia. How could you do that? One of the greatest coaches of all time. Andy Reid was never winning a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. It just wasn't going to happen. He was too set in his ways. Andy Reid, for a long time from what? When they started to get good, let's just say around 1999, all the way through to 2003 when they were knocking on the door in the NFC, and he repeatedly told you that James Thrash and Todd Pinkston were good enough and you don't need a number one wide receiver. Then he gets a number one wide receiver and lights the NFL on fire in 2004 with Terrell Owens, only to not make things work between himself, talking about Terrell Owens, and Donovan McNabb, and then it all exploded at that point. But he still got the Eagles back to NFC Championship games, particularly in 2008 against the Arizona Cardinals. As a sixth seed, so it wasn't even seven teams let yet, the last seed to get in, ended up with victories over the Minnesota Vikings, ended up with a victory over the top-seeded New York Giants, and then went out and lost to the fifth seed, the Arizona Cardinals, went on to the Super Bowl and just about won that game if it wasn't for an unbelievable catch from Santonio Holmes. But Andy Reid does have a record outside of Kansas City. It wasn't like, oh, he didn't win any football games. He couldn't do anything without Patrick Mahomes. He won a ton of football games over a decade in Philadelphia. Tons. Multiple NFC championship games. And yes, as you know, he did go to a Super Bowl and lost to Bill Belichick by 3 points in that game. But when we're trying to put them up there on the Mount Rushmore, right? Whether it's Bill Belichick and or Andy Reid, it's still the same argument to me. And again, watching multiple shows today, it's pretty crazy how people are like, yeah, you know what? I already have Mahomes as the best quarterback of all time. And then they go right to the next conversation, which we're having, is what about Andy Reid and Bill Belichick? Oh, no, it's Bill Belichick. How could that be? Isn't it hand in hand at this point? And also, Patrick Mahomes has only been with Andy Reid. So they've been together for three Super Bowls. Big Red won a lot of football games, now never actually won the Super Bowl and lost his only Super Bowl at that point. But you see where I'm going here. How could you have Patrick Mahomes, three-time Super Bowl champion, three-time Super Bowl MVP, two-time NFL MVP, six-time Pro Bowler, regular season record 74-22, playoff record astounding 15-3. But do you see my point here? You can't have Patrick Mahomes as the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL and then say Andy Reid is the best coach in the NFL, or excuse me, say Bill Belichick is the best coach in the NFL. Like Tom Brady, if he's the best quarterback in the NFL of all time, then of course it's got to be his coach, Bill Belichick. That's just the way it is. Let's get to the phone lines here, keep the good times rolling. Chris, down in Austin, calling in here on a Tuesday afternoon on the Sports Grid Network. What's good, Chris?
Donnie Wrightside, my man. How was that weekend?
My guy. It was tiring and worth it, brother.
I was riding with y'all. You know I was in the chat the whole time, and I said, if the 49ers, especially after that interception, they didn't do anything with the ball. I was like, they're going to get this door open, and my bets are going to come through. And they did, because I was on the under. I had the Chiefs, MBS, plus 500. Yeah. You know, talking about the Ayuk and the Deebo Samuel, they kind of took away from that profit there. But anyway, I love your conversation, DRS, about the quarterbacks, and I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is a remarkable talent, and that's why I bet on him. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Joe Montana yet. I watched both of those players play their entire careers. Love Mahomes. Yep. Let the story be told, man. Good developer kid with a better attitude. He's another freaking Tom Brady. How lucky is the NFL to get two faces of the league, Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes? This winner, winner, chicken dinner. And like you were talking about with Swifty, how can you not target a young, different demographic to add to your already 50-year-olds like myself with money watching the NFL? So, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, man. But, and here, He's better than Manning. He's better than Manning right now. He's better than Roethlisberger or any of his contemporaries. It's Montana. I mean, it's Brady. It's Montana. It's Mahomes. And you were talking coaches. And like I told JP, the coaches, for me, it would have to be Shula, Belichick, Reed, Walsh. Those four are my Mount Rushmore. You know, you can talk about Hollis. You can talk about Lombardi. You can talk about Paul Brown up there. Talk about Landry, my boy, from the Cowboys when he played, when he coached at the Giants. He was the defensive coordinator for the Giants in that 57 coach Giants game. So, but for me, it's Walsh, Belichick, Reed, Shula. Got to put Shula number one. And I don't get the LeBron thing because LeBron is not Michael Jordan. I would take Chamberlain over. I would take Chamberlain over LeBron. I would take Magic over LeBron. Me personally, LeBron's a great player. The best argument for LeBron is his longevity. That's his claim, and it's a strong one. And you can make that argument that as long as he's played and with the numbers he's had, he's the greatest. But for me, I saw it. It's Michael Jordan.
Yeah. There you go. I love the heat you're bringing there. The voice is raspy out here. Tickets were won on the Super Bowl, but yet we're still here to debate. I love it. Thanks for the phone call, Chris, man. Appreciate it, man. Rest up over there. Rest that voice. We need you the rest of the week here, brother. We need you. I love that. There's passion coming through in there from Chris in Austin. Good to talk to him there as we were off last week as we were out in Las Vegas gallivanting around the Mandalay Bay Convention Center, getting all our interviews in and all our hot topics ready to go. But there's one guy I didn't bring up there. It was Don Shula, one of the greatest, certainly, head coaches in the history of the sport, primarily there, Baltimore Colts, as well as what most people know him with there, the Miami Dolphins. Wonderful coach, tons of victories, and that goes into it. And by the way, he set the all-time coaching record for wins in the city of Philadelphia with a victory over my Philadelphia Eagles. Remember to this day, you know, gets hoisted up at Veterans Stadium and carried off as the greatest coach of all time. We'll see if some of those coaches, and also Bill Belichick, will he get another job to try to extend those wins here to sort of stiff-arm Andy Reid? Because let's be honest, Andy Reid isn't going anywhere as long as Patrick Mahomes is in his prime. Like, Andy Reid easily could have, after that game on Sunday, you know what? I made a ton of money. I'm going to step right into a job at ESPN for millions of dollars, enjoy myself, and be home with the family and just relax. You can't do that when you're a head coach. When you got a tiger by the tail, like you have with Patrick Mahomes in his prime, you ride this thing out. You put space between you and the rest of the contenders here. You might not catch Bill Belichick, but you want to put space between you. You want to rack up four, five, maybe even six, if it's possible, Super Bowl champions. And maybe try to get after Bill Belichick. But the fact of the matter is, when it's all said and done, Andy Reid might actually be the winningest coach in NFL history. Because Bill Belichick would love to come back for a year or two. Maybe win another 15 total football games, worst case scenario, and say, you know what? I put this out of reach. Andy Reid's not going to be able to catch me now. But it's interesting to see because, again, these coaches aren't young. They've been around the block. Big Red came to Philadelphia in what, 1998? Somewhere in that range? Think about that. 1998. I was still playing college football in 1998 as a junior. And Big Red was coaching NFL football. Here I sit now in my mid-40s, and Big Red has no signs of slowing down right now. That's absolutely incredible. Let's fit in one more call before we get out of here before the break. The X-Man's calling in from the great state of Virginia. X-Man, bring that heat. Where are those tickets at, and where are we going?
Shout out to Chris in Texas. Yeah. Shout out to everybody on bring the border, that. Baby. Hey, I got hockey. Got Colorado Avalanche in regulation. Vancouver Canucks in regulation. Marquette on the money line.
Ooh, wow.
And we're going with Jaylen Brown of the Celtics, shooting guard, $300 million man. Jaylen Brown, 25 points, and the Celtics to win.
The 12-1. Hammer tonight. 12-1 price. Tuesday afternoon, that's the way to get after it here. So the next man comes in, hot with the ticket late in the show, giving it out for the people. It's only one thing. Now, see, I like where he went with this. Because X-Man went with Marquette. I actually like Butler tonight in that game, X-Man. So, but I'm getting 4.5 points. So you want to give me a Marquette 3-point victory tonight, and we all can succeed? That's the way we can all eat and certainly have some fun. So looking forward to college basketball tonight. But I do slightly like Butler tonight. Take them with the 4.5 points at home in Hinkle, one of the more historic gyms across the United States landscape for college basketball. But a good time talking about a lot of topics today. I got one other pick, and we're going to go over a couple of college basketball plays in the next segment here. But as I'm just taking a look at some NFL, you know, off-season information already, before you know it, guys, free agency is going to open up. The NFL draft will be around the corner. We got so many things to look forward to, whether it's college basketball, NBA action, Major League Baseball starting, the NHL winding down and getting their playoff structure in place. It's a great time to be with the Sports Grid Network, handicapping and having fun. That's what we do in the middle afternoon right here on Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside, they close it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
MJF music here to end the show on a Tuesday. I guess Kev would appreciate that here. As he's recouping, he'll be back Thursday, people. Don't you worry. So tomorrow, we have another edition solo from your boy Donnie Wrightside here. Had a great weekend, a lot of fun, great week last week. It's nice getting back into the fold because you change so much of your life and your structure where you're in Las Vegas, three-hour time difference, different type show, no early line. It's pro football today in the morning, interviews all afternoon, back and forth, doing videos, trying to grab something to eat, trying to get to bed on time, and then do the same thing and wake up at 1:30 a.m. the very next day to get the day started once again. So today, finally, I had the day off Monday from doing that long Super Bowl show where I could relax yesterday morning. I felt like I was in a fog the entire day. It was great doing Moneyline in the afternoon just to get back into the flow of the home office. But today, again, felt fantastic. This morning, both myself and Davis Maddock on the early line, rolling through 3 hours, having fun, talking Super Bowl, talking NCAA action, NBA action. It was really a good time. And it's therapeutic to say, you know what? We're all going to struggle a little bit over the next couple days because we do miss football. But before you know it, great times here in NCAA action. Certainly will pick things up. Three games on the board tonight. One at 6:30 Eastern, 7 Eastern, and 9 Eastern. Marquette and Butler. I'm going to take Butler with the 4.5 points in this game. I think it makes some sense. Butler, who doesn't turn the basketball over, and Marquette, as we know, with that up tempo, pressure on defense, which is what Shaka Smart does deliver. I'm going to take the Butler Bulldogs getting the 4.5 points at home. I'm also going to take Iowa State going up against Cincinnati. I think they match up really well, and Iowa State does have an advantage in the paint. I'll take the 1.5 points on the road with the Cyclones. And the final game of the night for me, 9 p.m. Central Florida BYU. Sounds like a big number at 11.5, but I'm going to take BYU. They match up fantastically at the three-point line against Central Florida. It should be bombs away in Provo tonight with the BYU Cougars picking up that victory here. College basketball in full display tonight, looking to cash in on some winners. It was a great show. I do thank the callers for calling in. Coast to Coast is coming up next, so don't you go anywhere. But Donnie Wrightside and JP will be back tomorrow in the fold for yet another edition of Moneyline. See you tomorrow, guys.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.